was perceived. Anya dehaya. Pratityata nidraha. One who has awakened from sleep. Kimtu. But. Anya dehaya. For another material body. Gunan. The material qualities. Na. Never. Vringte. Enjoys. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even if one is liberated, he nevertheless accepts the body he has received according to his past karma. Without misconceptions, however, he regards his enjoyment and suffering due to that karma, and that way, and the way an awakened person regards a dream he had while sleeping. He thus remains steadfast and never works to achieve another material body under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Purport. The difference between a liberated and conditioned soul is that the conditioned soul is under the concept of bodily life, whereas a liberated person knows that he is not the body but the spirit, different from the body. Priyavrata may have thought that although a conditioned soul is forced to act according to the laws of nature, why should he, who has far advanced in spiritual understanding, accept the same kind of bondage and impediments to spiritual advancement? To answer this doubt, Lord Brahma informed him that even those who are liberated do not resent accepting in the present body the result of their past activities. While sleeping, one dreams many unreal things, but when he awakens, he disregards them and makes progress in factual life. Similarly, a liberated person, one who has completely understood that he is not the body but the spirit soul, disregards past activities performed in ignorance and performs his present activities in such a way that they produce no reactions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Yajñārthāt karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. If one performs activity for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality, the Yajna Purusha, his work does not produce reactions, whereas karmis who act for themselves are bound by reactions to their work. A liberated person, therefore, does not think about whether he has ignorantly done whatever he has ignorantly done in the past. Instead, he acts in such a way that he will not produce another body by fruitive activities. As clearly mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus come to the level of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Regardless of what we have done in our past lives, if we engage ourselves in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord in this life, we will always be situated in a Brahma-Bhuta, liberated state, free from reactions, and will not be obliged to accept another material body. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. After giving up the body, one who has acted in that way does not accept another material body, but instead goes back home, back to Godhead. So here, Srila Prabhupada gives again perfect way, perfect manual on what we have to do and how we have to do it to go back to Godhead. Now this is just another verse. Each verse of Bhagavatam contains instructions how we can go back to Godhead. Now, to understand that, we have to have faith. Faith that this is a fact, not an imagination. And for that, then we have to take some steps in our personal life. We have to follow the rules of Sarana Bhakti. And besides following these rules, we should very carefully study the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Now, since we are on the first chapter, now I would like to take the opportunity and read a preface by Srila Prabhupada to Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just read some paragraphs. And please pay attention, because in the preface, Srila Prabhupada is giving something very, very valuable. And that something is the mood. The mood with which we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam, the mood with which we should follow the process of Sarana Bhakti. And if we do follow the mood, we will understand what and how should we act, how should we relate to the devotees, what should we do in our devotional service. And as you come to know, Srila Prabhupada is stating certain facts in the preface. And maybe you will be surprised. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the field of material comfort, education, and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large, and therefore there are large-scale quarrels, even over less important issues. There is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace. Friendship and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the respiralization of the entire human society. How did Srila Prabhupada wanted to conquer the whole world? By the cultural revolution. Srimad Bhagavatam is the way, it's the manual on how we can conquer the whole world. Of course, again, we have to have faith in that. And we have to study the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. We have to apply them in our own life. And then, listen. Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and colleges, for it is recommended by the great student devotee Prahlad Maharaj in order to change the demoniac face of society. Disparity in human society is due to lack of principles in a godless civilization. There is God, or the Almighty One, from whom everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained, and in whom everything is merged to rest. Material science has tried to find the ultimate source of creation very insufficiently. But it is a fact that there is one ultimate source of everything that be. That ultimate source is explained rationally and authoritatively in the beautiful Bhagavatam or Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a transcendental science, not only for knowing the ultimate source of everything, but also for knowing our relation with Him and our duty towards perfection of the human society on the basis of this perfect knowledge. It is powerful reading matter in the Sanskrit language, and it is now rendered into English elaborately so that simply by careful reading, one will know God perfectly well. So much so that the reader will be sufficiently educated to defend himself from the onslaught of atheists. Over and above this, the reader will be able to convert others to accepting God as a concrete principle. You want to be God conscious? You want to develop Krishna consciousness? What else do you need? This is statement, this is a fact by Srila Prabhupada. You follow this statement, you will achieve, you will come to know God perfectly well, and you will be able to convince others about Godhead as being a concrete principle. It is a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the definition of the ultimate source. It is a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the same author, Srila Vyasadeva, and gradually it develops into 9 cantos up to the highest state of God realization. The only qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step cautiously and not jump forward haphazardly like with an ordinary book. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. The reading matter is so arranged with its original Sanskrit text, its English transliteration, synonyms, translation, and purport so that one is sure to become a God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first 9 cantos. The 10th canto is distinct from the first 9 cantos because it deals directly with the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One will be unable to capture the effects of the 10th canto without going through the first 9 cantos. The book is complete in 12 cantos, each independent, but it is good for all to read them in small installments, one after another. Anyway, these are the excerpts from the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if we understand that what Srila Prabhupada wrote, it's a fact. It's not exaggeration. Srila Prabhupada is not trying to make one feel nice. He is giving us the direct way how we can become Krishna conscious, perfectly well know God, and convince others about the same. So, where does that put us? If we come to understand that, and if we come to realize that much, that means such a devotee must achieve at least the level of nishtha. He is convinced. He knows. He is not going to follow another path. He will defend himself from the onslaught of the atheists. Even though he may not be perfectly learned in every scripture, but doesn't matter what and who yells, see him and tries to convince him, why do you follow Vaishnavism? Just become Buddhist or become Muslim or become Christian. No. He knows this is not going to go directly towards Godhead. The only path is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam means what? Bhagavatam means applying the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, if we are, you know, on such a high level that we can just apply, just read and chant and be happy, that's great. If not, then we see the instructions to Kardama Muni, instructions of Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, now the instructions to Priyavrata Maharaj. These are the aspects of Varnashrama Dharma. We follow those aspects, we follow Bhagavatam. And as we understand and realize more by following these aspects, we will come to the higher and higher level. When we study Srimad Bhagavatam and we study the first 9 cantos, we will become perfectly Krishna conscious. But that does not mean just to read it. We have to apply it. Education is application. From application we get the realization. This is most important. So what we have to learn from this is, what is Srila Prabhupada giving in the preface? He is giving us the way, what should we do, how should we do it, and what we gain by doing it. But he is giving us now very important aspect. He is setting the mood, what we need to do. And besides that, then Srila Prabhupada now sets the mood many times. Even if we are careful, we see his mood in every purport he has written. It's there. But even though we are not so careful, we can see in certain places the mood perfectly well. What does Srila Prabhupada want us to do? For us to be able to understand the purports, for us to be able to understand Bhagavatam, for us to be able to follow the instructions, apply them in our life, we need to know the mood. We cannot have doubts that, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he just wrote just something very basic, something which is for the beginners, but for the real rahasya, you have to go to some other more elevated souls or read some more elevated scriptures. It's not true. You read purport of Srila Prabhupada, you will understand everything according to your level. So those who say so, they are on the lowest level because they understand that this is the instructions for the lowest level. If they would follow these instructions, then they would come to the higher level, following and reading the instructions on the higher level, following the mood of Srila Prabhupada, they will understand the higher instructions behind the purport. And so, that way, these instructions are for the Kanishtas, and these instructions, the same instruction, applies and is relished by the Paramahamsas. Anybody can relish these instructions. It's just a question how you approach it. To approach it, we have to know the mood. We have to be clear in that Srila Prabhupada is giving us the solution to how to find perfection of our life, perfection of humanity. And he is giving us one angle, such an angle which is very easy to understand and follow. Sometimes it's so easy that we think, oh, that cannot be true, that this is too simple. I'm looking for something more concrete, something more complex. That cannot work. So, and then we start reading more books. And then we read the books of the previous acharyas or other sadhus. And then we find, oh, this is better than this one. I see difference. That's bad. That means you are reading too many books. How do we understand Shastra? only through the eyes of Guru. We have to understand the mood and the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, then we can read other books if it enhances our understanding of the mood of Srila Prabhupada. If we are jumping, we will not understand anything and only committing offenses. So, we have to take Bhagavatam as it is. It is not an ancient scripture which is not applicable. Bhagavatam is applicable all the time. Anytime it was, it is now, and it's going to be all the time. No matter which yuga, no matter which universe, it does not matter. And Bhagavatam is living. Srila Prabhupada is living through Bhagavatam. He is giving us his instructions. And try applying Bhagavatam in your life. You have a question? Read Bhagavatam. You read Bhagavatam, you will find an answer to your question, if you are sincere. And you live the instruction, you live Bhagavatam, you become Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is unlimited. So we have to understand the mood. So now, to understand the mood, to be able to grasp the most out of the situation, to develop the taste for reading Bhagavatam. Besides, Srila Prabhupada says we should read at least 2 hours, carefully, a day, right? So later on then at least 1 hour, but at least 2 hours we should be reading. And then the rest of the day we should be applying what we have read. That means we should be studying it. It should not be read like ordinary book. It should be studied. So, now, to understand more on the mood, I would like to take the opportunity and very clearly it's established and very clearly is defined and given by Srila Prabhupada in the seven purposes of ISKCON. Why did Srila Prabhupada establish a society? For what? What's the reason? Just to be together and enjoy our life? Living our own cultures, not caring for anybody else? Is that why Srila Prabhupada established the society? What are the activities which Srila Prabhupada stresses on we have to follow in our society? Now, this is a question to you. I will read through the purposes. And Srila Prabhupada, if you are careful, he is stressing on 3 activities which we need to practice. And these activities are in each and every single purpose. Sometimes more obvious, sometimes more hidden, but they are there. And if we don't follow these activities, that much we will not be successful. And unfortunately, in our society, it's not giving too much of a stress, too much of a importance to these 3 activities. So, think about it while we read them. 1. To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. 2. To propagate the consciousness of Krishna, God, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. 3. To bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. 4. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 5. To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. 6. To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. 7. With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So then, what are the three activities? A clue. These three activities must be applied anytime, anywhere. You have to apply them to successfully run a family, to successfully run a society, to successfully run a nation, to successfully run the whole world. The principles of them are applicable in the material world. The principles of them are applicable and are applied in the spiritual world. What are these? What we need to follow to understand the mood of Srila Prabhupada? What? You want to say? Anybody? Yes? What do you think? Just.
Yes, thank you. So I think knowledge is one of the first things coming in my mind, to have the knowledge about Krishna consciousness, to be educated and to educate, to propagate Krishna consciousness, to come together for the purpose of having Sankirtan, coming together, also to have a more simple life, like this higher thinking and simple living, to have the holy place together, and this magazine. So it's very clear. You're totally right, and everything is there.
Okay, so then you very clearly like mentioned two, and then one still is pending. And if you look at it, there are in all of them. First one is education. We must educate ourselves. We must educate, and education means realization, application of what we have learned, as Srila Prabhupada writes in preface. Then the second one is association. We need to associate with each other. And that doesn't mean, Haribol, okay, and then just go separate ways. That's not association. Association means sadhu sangha. Association means sharing one's realizations, sharing one's knowledge, being together, doing activities together, performing devotional service together. An example of such a association. Now, if you properly apply such association, so then, look at, everybody has his own duties. Brahmacharis, they have their own duties. Grihasthas, they have their own duties. Brahmacharis, they have time to study. This is their time. They must study. And through studies, through education, they can come to the level of realizations. They can apply it while they are in the school, in their activities, and they can come out of the school as a realized person. Now, grihasthas, they don't have much time to read and study, and now for them it may be more difficult to educate themselves to the level that they can apply. They are busy collecting Lakshmi for paying bills, and it's natural, it's understood. But so then also they need to get realization. How do they get realization? Through association. They associate with the brahmacharis. They associate with the brahmacharis such a way, so then they invite some for the program. And through association, we can share our realizations directly without going through the tedious process of actually of the education as such. We can just get the essence of the education. This is the realization. And that's by association. And then, if we are already associating, if we are educated about what we should do, then we want to achieve something. We want to please Srila Prabhupada. We want to please Krishna. We want to achieve the perfection of humanity. So what do we have to do for that? Yes?
Cooperation.
This is the third element. So we need to cooperate. That means, okay, I am doing one service. You may be doing some other service. But that does not mean that I am doing everything perfect and only what I am doing makes sense and everybody else is in Maya. We have to learn to respect each other. So I am doing what I am doing, but what you are doing, it's very important. And what somebody else is doing, it's also very important. It's another aspect in devotional service. And together we work, we can cover all the aspects of bhakti yoga. And by the association, we can all come to the highest perfection of God realization. But what is the qualification for that? What is the qualification to understand that? Shraddha. We have to have some faith. We have to have faith that what Srila Prabhupada is writing, it's not an imagination. It's not writing just something because, well, he wanted to write some legal thing and just to make it clear, or he made it clear. But these are the facts. This is what he really wanted. If we take it seriously, follow this, then we understand the mood of our founder Acharya. If we understand our mood of founder Acharya, then we understand then why the purports are written certain way, what to look for in the purports, how to apply the purports of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in our own life. And after that, what's missing? That will bring happiness, what we are all looking for. Some of us, we may be trying to find happiness through sense gratification, but somebody through other means, but it's all possible to find in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam explains everything. From the very beginning until the highest, the topmost realization. So we should very carefully contemplate about it and think, how do we apply this very knowledge in our own life, and then through applying it we can preach our own realizations to others and convince others about Krishna as a concrete principle. So, I don't know, is there any question on that? Yes. Okay, now he mentions already in the previous the disparity in human society is due to lack of principles in a godless civilization. There is God, the Almighty One, from whom everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained, and in whom everything is merged to rest. Material science has tried to find the ultimate source of creation very insufficiently, but It is a fact that there is one ultimate source of everything that be. So this is the principle. The principle is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So always remembering him, this is the concrete principle. But how do you convince others about that, that this will bring you the satisfaction, that will bring you the perfection in your life if you don't follow yourself? We have to follow it ourselves. We have to be convinced about it. We have to apply it in our life. We have to do everything for to always remember Krishna. And in case we are in a situation we can, that what it is. So then how do we always remember Krishna and how we never forget him? For some it may seem it's the same thing, right? But the fact is that always remember Krishna, it's the concrete principle. This is what we have to always do. But due to our anarthas, due to our shortcomings, then sometimes we want to be engaged in activities which are not very Krishna conscious. So then we want to gratify our senses also. We have our desires. So then, alright, the Vedic scriptures, the Vedic culture has a space for that. You want to follow, you want to still gratify, you want to enjoy some sin gratification, no problem. There is a way. You follow Sakama Bhakti. It's a Bhakti Yoga. But Sakama Bhakti means that you perform the activities the way you are confident, you like. But at the end, don't forget to offer the results of that activity to the Lord. This is not forgetting the Lord. So then, how do we do that practically? Like, look at it. We like to eat something, right? And we like to eat something because we like it. We don't know if Krishna likes it or not. But we like it. So therefore, we do it. And it's patram pushpam phalam toyam, it's not breaking the principles. So then, we can do it the best way we know. And then, what do we do at the end? We offer it to the Lord. We offer it because we are not forgetting him. But when we are making it, this is how I like it. It's for me. So that's Bhakti Yoga, but it's Sakama Bhakti. So then we come to the higher understanding. By doing so, then eventually we may just question ourselves. Krishna, I'm cooking this preparation which I like for you, but do you like them? Is it the best I can offer to you? What would you like the most? So as the attachment for Krishna, as the affection for Krishna raises, then due to love we start to question, what do you like? What do you love? What can I do for you? How can I please you? Guru Sadhu Shastra, you can listen, you can read in the scriptures, you can see what Krishna likes, what the devotees, what Mother Yashoda cooks, for Sachimata, what she cooks for Nitai, Nimai. What is there? What can we do? How can we please? The Acharyas speak about. So then we start to cook the way the Lord likes it. And we may not be accustomed to the taste in the beginning, but we try our best to be accustomed. We eat, we taste, and we start liking it. But when we are cooking it, it's not that because it's for me. I'm doing it out of love for the Lord. That means I'm remembering the Lord even while I'm preparing the preparation. Not just at the end, we have to offer it, quickly offer it. No. I'm already thinking about, this is exactly how he likes, this is exactly how Sachimata cooks. The consciousness is of Krishna consciousness. It's not about I'm going to enjoy it. So this is Nishkama Bhakti. That's the higher principle. Another example you can think of: building a house. You want to build a house, and you want to build a house your own way. These are the rooms. I like them. No, this is going to be here, this is going to be there, this is the living room. No, I like it this way. Oh, this is exactly how I wanted it. And this is a small room which I will be worshipping Krishna. So I'm not forgetting him. I'll place him in the best place in the house, but it's going to be small because the deity is small, and it's just that, and this is going to be his temple. I didn't forget him. It's bona fide. But if the devotee thinks farther, I want to really please the Lord, what can I do? I build a temple. So he builds his house as a temple. Exactly how Krishna wants it. So this is your altar, this is your room, this is your room. That's everything yours. It's a temple. It's exactly how you like it. How do we know? Guru Sadhu Shastra. So we build it like that. And at the end, what we do? We find a small room for ourselves to live so we can serve the Lord. We build the house. It's a temple, always remembering the Lord. So these are the different aspects. And if we are convinced about it, then we can establish it as a concrete principle for ourselves. Always apply it in every situation in our life. And if we do so, we can convince others about the concrete principle the same way. Yes? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you very much. My question has to do with maintenance and devotional service. I would like to take the opportunity to ask you what is difficult for me to understand right now is in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that we have to work to maintain for our lives. At the same time, of course, we're learning Krishna is the maintainer of everything. And so what the only thing I'm asking about is, for example, if very advanced souls are spending their lives like roaming around, spreading Krishna consciousness, chanting very much, they are very well maintained. So, but in that, let me say, regular sense, they are not really working. They are doing devotional service. So how is it to be understood properly?
See, maintenance, it's already given. Anybody is born, any living entity is born, the maintenance is already done. The animals, they take it like that. The humans, they want more. I deserve more. I want more. I can get more. I will get that. Greed. So we take more than we deserve. We take more even though we shouldn't. And therefore, everything is upside down because of humans. If the animals only would be living on the planet, everything is perfect. So now, but again, we have to be convinced about it. But as a human, then we have got also our desires, and we have got our intelligence given by Krishna. We can fulfill our desires. Now the question is, what consciousness do we take? Okay, I have the desires. That means I have the right to fulfill them, or to the highest top, highest level. And then we take it that way. And where do we end up? Dissatisfied. And then what happens? The Bhumi Devi, the nature, she tolerates for some time. She's a mother, she tolerates. But after some time, she stops tolerating. Therefore, now she is going to let us know. This is not good. She's angry. How does she know? Weather is not proper. Earthquakes, right? Tornadoes, flooding. In Europe now they have the third flood, and they're expecting the fourth flooding. They're flooding during winter season. Winter flooding because it becomes spring weather, the snow melts, rivers flood. When they're flooding, it freezes. And that was one flood. Another flood. A few years ago, they had the flood, they call it the 100-year flood. This year, they're experiencing flood, they call it the 1,000-year flood. No. So it's the next few years, and then no, maybe no, after a few years, it'll be the 10,000-year flood. And nobody's really wondering, why is that? No, it's not because of me. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just living my life. I'm enjoying it. So I'm maintaining myself, right? This is what I need. I need the unlimited sense gratification. I need unlimited sex. I need unlimited money. I need everything unlimited because I am God. Right? So I have the right to take everything. But unfortunately, we are not, and therefore it's not working the way we want it to work. Even though we have the will to do, but the reactions are different. And then we wonder, why it's not exactly, I want everything, no sunny weather, I want to enjoy, but I cannot. Because it is raining. No, and I don't want it to rain. I want to go and no swim and enjoy, but I cannot. And we work hard, very hard. Some people work 16 hours a day to work hard, to maintain, to get above their maintenance, above actually what they need. And they work so hard that they have no time to enjoy it. Because 16 hours a day, 5 days a week, if you work, then you need some sleep and you need a little bit of some gratification. And it is a fact that most of the people who are doing like that, they are doing it to please their family. Unfortunately, the wife cannot handle it because the husband is not at home, so she finds somebody else. And then he wonders, I am working hard like an ass, which he does, and he cannot enjoy it, and he lost everything. If he would do everything as just it comes. Don't expect too much for yourself. Expect only what you get. Take it as it is. Happiness will be there. He can enjoy relationships. There is a wonderful connection which Srila Prabhupada makes. In Upadeshamrita, he writes, as Srila Rupa Goswami wrote Upadeshamrita, so Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote Shikshastakam. And there is a very nice connection between the key verse of Shikshastakam as a Trinarapi Sunichna, Tararapi Sunichna, Amanina Manada, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and the verse Darate Prati Grihnati, Buhimakiti Pichati, Bhunkte Bojayate. Now, if we understand this, then Shikshastaka leads us to the same path as Upadeshamrita. But if we understand that the Trinarapi Sunichna, Tararapi Sunichna, Amanina Manadena, these are the four qualities we need to maintain for us to be able to chant the pure holy name. What are these four qualities? Humble, tolerant, not expecting things for oneself, and giving respect to everybody else. It's difficult. It's very difficult. And in fact, no, it's extremely difficult. Because how can we be tolerant if people are abusing us, people do this, people do that, no? And how can we be humble in that situation? And no, how can we give respect to anyone? Look at him, he is such a rascal, he's doing this, he's doing, I know everything, I cannot give him any respect. Right? And why is that? Because we expect so much for oneself. We are, no, it's me. I'm perfect. No. And why is not working the way I want? Because everybody else is wrong. They should change. I'm perfect. I have nothing to change. So therefore, I can expect anything. But this is the main cause of our faulty understanding. In fact, to understand how to practice and how to get to these four and to be able to be, accept our maintenance as it is and be happy about it, we need to practice Amanina. Amanina is the first quality to practice, and that is to not expect anything for oneself. Just expect what you get, be happy with. And there is no situation in which you will be unhappy. Why? Because you don't expect. Right? So then, if you don't expect from anything from a situation, and you don't get, you are not disappointed. If you expect and you get that much, you are satisfied. You are not disappointed. That's what I expected. You expect a feast from somebody, you go there, you get a feast, it's okay, it was good, I expected it. If you expect a feast and you go to somebody's house and the somebody does not have a feast for you, he was just happy to see you, then okay, yeah, I'm also happy to see you, but wait a minute, I had some expectation, you know, look, there should have been a feast, no? Oh, I didn't know that, okay, well, disappointment. But if you don't expect, and if you are just about not also to see the person, then you come and your expectation of seeing him, be happy, is fulfilled. But above all, you get a feast. So that much more happiness and satisfaction comes. So you can always, in every situation, remain dhira. You can always be not disappointed. And in fact, you can be always satisfied. And then from that, being humble, it's easy. Being tolerant, also easy. And give respect to everybody else, why not? So, and if you understand that and you follow these four principles, you are able to chant the pure holy name. And through that understanding, you can start to practice the loving exchanges. Because how do you practice, what is your exchange with the devotees? What is your exchange with the holy name? What is your relationship? Rupa Goswami. Now, he connects it now to the verse, then Darate prati grihnati, guhmyakti pichati, bungte bojate, six loving exchanges. Giving gifts, accepting gifts, opening one's heart and being able to open one's heart, to somebody who wants to open his heart. And giving prasad and accepting prasad. These are loving, the six loving exchanges. When they are practiced among devotees, they will enhance one's devotional service, guaranteed. But we need to take it as it is, in the mood of our spiritual master, in the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So what does it mean? Giving gift can be physical, giving gift also can be a word. The highest gift is if you give Krishna consciousness to somebody, you give Hare Krishna Mahamantra to somebody, this is the highest gift. Accepting gift. If you accept gift from somebody, from your friend, and you are happy, you will make your friend even more happy. Revealing one's heart to somebody. If you have a problem, and if you don't have anybody whom you can reveal, share the problem, you are having a real problem. But if you have a problem, and then you have somebody whom you can reveal it, it's almost gone. Even if he is unable to help you immediately, just the way you can share it with him, it's already very give you very much a relief. And if you have a friend who sees, oh, you have a problem, what is the problem? Please tell me, I would like to help you. This is the highest treasure you can ever have. He cares for you. He wants to know and he wants to help you. He's not saying it just not for the sake of saying, no. He actually is very conscious, sensitive, and he cares about you, and he sees you are not looking very well. There is something. What is it? please tell me, I would like to help you. That's a treasure. And giving prasad and accepting prasad. Giving prasad, now it's, if you want to please somebody, if you want to actually, you know, do something for somebody, so then you find out what he likes the most. And then you cook that for him the way he likes it. You serve it to him the way he likes it. This is wonderful exchange. And that you come and you like what he cooks, he will be immensely pleased. But it has to be followed the way as Srila Prabhupada is given. And he was given, you know, in many instances. Bhagavatam, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita is a lot about eating and serving and cooking. But there is no buffet system. No? It's all sitting down and serving as much as each and everyone wants. The cooking is also not very simple. The cooking is so elaborate. Everybody works on it. It's very important because this is the time when the devotees can socialize. They come together. They discuss topics. And now the cooking takes great part of the day, sometimes few days. But they don't feel exhausted, and they don't feel, oh, we should have some now instant pizza from the supermarket, no, and that will be now quicker and better. No, they are not looking for it. They are looking for how can we spend more time together. Cooking is the way. If you do that, the consciousness of those people associating together is in the cooking. That it's being served, and that gives the satisfaction to those who are eating. So again, perfect satisfaction. So now we may wonder, why did Rupa Goswami give these six exchanges? Why not something else? If we look at it from this point of view, so they form like a frame. And through this frame, anything else can fit in. Any other exchange. So therefore, if we capture these six and follow them as given as an instruction by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, we have captured the basis, the principles of Bhakti Yoga. And from that, there is no way back. It's just going to, we are just going to experience more and more bliss. Not that we are looking for the bliss, but we are going to experiencing the bliss because the devotees and Krishna are pleased. So naturally, you will also be pleased. So, and how it can be done? By accepting Amanina. Just take it as it is. Whatever you get, that's my maintenance. I'm doing what I'm doing. And the rest of the time, I'm spending my time with the devotees. Devotional service, nothing else. Forget it. I'm not working like an ass. I don't want to do that. I would like to spend the time with the devotees only. For the purpose, I want to become Krishna conscious. That's a real happiness, a real satisfaction. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we went over time. So then we will end here. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Paramanande.